Constantly, as you turn over the pages of Holy Writ, you will come to questions. The question that was asked long ago in Eden's garden is well known to all of us. When Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, the Lord, he came along and he calls out to Adam, "Where art thou?" Of course, the Lord knew exactly where Adam was. That was a call not of wrath, but it was a call in love. And it is a call that still issues out to the hearts of men and women all over the place. God's call of love to the sinner. It's always good when we come to a gospel meeting to consider just where we are, because the Lord asks us the question, "Where art thou?" You remember the prophet long ago when he met the widow woman. Again, he asked a very important question. He said, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with the child?" And we know the context of the situation there, but we do often take those words and we, again, as preachers would apply them to the hearts of men and women, endeavouring to encourage men and women to look into their heart and see, is it well or is it not well? Again, it's good when you're found where the gospel is being preached to look at your heart and be really honest and to answer whether it's well with you or not. Is it well with thee? Is it well with the child? Of course, we can think of God's servant long ago when he spoke to a great multitude of men and women before him who had a degree of uncertainty regarding the way forward. And he said to them, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Man in his natural state serves sin." When people are born again of God's Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Christ and saved, then they serve the Lord, but nonetheless there are many other calls for our attention. And sometimes when we read that question, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve," we sometimes have to choose that we're going to serve the Lord with all of our hearts and we're not going to give any of our allegiance to the ways of the world or following after sin. It's an important question. Remember the question that Elijah asked when he was up on the mountain there and he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" And in our own experience, we have spoken to individuals who have been halting for years between two opinions. Can't really come to that settled conclusion in their own heart whether they should turn to the Lord and be converted or whether they should follow after the pleasures of sin, and they're sitting there in misery. How long halt ye between two opinions? A very, very important question that was asked was this: what think ye of Christ? Question I would ask to you tonight. What think ye of Christ? These are all very relevant and very important questions that were asked many years ago, and every one of them are important for us to consider in these days. Some of them were asked by prophets and military leaders and prophets of fire indeed. Some were asked by the Lord himself. But I want to turn your attention tonight to a question that was asked concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find it there in verse 2 where it says, "Where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Where is he? It is individual men that are asking this very important question. I have given a title to the message tonight, and it's called Seeking and Finding. And I trust tonight that if you're not saved, that you will seek the Lord tonight. Because I know that if you do, the promise of God's word is that you will find him. Seeking and finding. So So I want you, as we look at this verse 2 in chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel, first of all, to look with me and see there is a searching question. They ask the question here, where is he? Maybe sometimes you have wondered who exactly they asked. But as we look at the question, there are many things that are very evident in this very important question. It is clear to me that when the so-called wise men inquired in this way, that there was in their minds several things. First of all, their interest was awakened. It says here, where is he who is born King of the Jews? We note that Herod never asked for quite a wee while afterwards where he was. He who was to be the glory of Israel, and yet in Israel there were very few who asked the question, where is he? And as you have gathered out here in God's house this evening, God would love to bless you. And we like to tell that to unsaved men and women. In spite of all of your sin and all of your Christ rejection and all of the hardness that you may have displayed over the years, God would love to bless you tonight. And there will be I trust in all of our own churches and indeed in many other places and little halls and in many different venues, there will be gospel preaching. And the men and women there will be addressed in a similar fashion to which I'm addressing you tonight. They will speak concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question that I have to ask you just now is this. Is there an interest awakened in your mind concerning the work and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it seems that from what I can hear right across the province, there are few who are consciously desiring to know him or to know of him. Sunday schools are being abandoned by parents who do not see any real profit in sending their children along there. Gospel services, in some respects, even in our own denomination, are almost deserted. And many, many times, a preacher, when he speaks about Christ and Christ's atonement for human sin, he sees great carelessness among men and women. Just the same as it was in the days when Christ walked among men. Whenever we were first saved, we tend to think of the great multitudes that followed after Christ, the great preacher, and no man spake like this man. And so there was great crowds for a while, but it didn't last for very long. People didn't like what he was saying. Very sad to say, some of his own people didn't really like what he was saying. And in the days of his flesh, he was despised and rejected of men, and so it is today. But we keep on preaching because there does be those who inquire diligently. And they ask the question, even in meetings like this, where is he? In other words, if we can put it another way, I want to find him. You can think of when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, some of the people who were gathered listening were as hard and as ruthless a people as you could have met. They crucified the Savior. And as Peter preached to them, there was that interest awakened within the minds of those men and women who were gathered. And they did call out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were at the end of themselves. And while we have said that God would love to bless you tonight and he loves you, sinner, and we would love to see you converted to Jesus Christ, we would also love to see you come to the end of yourself. Because unless you do that, you will never turn to Christ. Because self, the flesh, is in great opposition to having a work of grace done in your heart. The girl who many years ago used to go to one of our Free Presbyterian churches, attended with her father, and she gave all the appearance of being, and I use the word here very carefully, of being a bit of a snob. In fact, after she was converted, she sat beside me and she looked around and said, "Why are you not speaking?" I said, "Because you're a snob." And she started to laugh. And she said, "I knew you were thinking that." But anyway, and I was only joking, I was laughing with her, of course, because there's a tremendous transformation in her life. But that girl had been living a sinful life. And while she'd come along to church the odd time with her father, she had no real interest in spiritual things. And until one day the minister got a phone call. Not from this young woman, but from another person. And he told the minister, he said, "You need to get round to where she is now. She's in an awful state." And the minister had something that was fairly pressing. He said, "Could I go?" He said, no, you need to go now." So he got into the car and he went round, and there she was in brokenness. And as she had displayed a particular type of attitude, which I've already referred to see that she was real in what she was saying, the minister said, "Okay, we'll get down on her knees." And she was down on her knees like a bullet to repent of her sin. What had happened there? There had been an interest awakened in her mind. An interest awakened in her mind that she would seek the Lord and that she would be found of him. You see, a big danger for people who come along to church the odd time like her is this. It can become almost a mechanical habit. And people become accustomed to listening to the gospel and to sitting through a certain part of the service, especially the preaching part. And when it comes to situations in the preaching part where there's application of God's word as there ought to be, then people are really, really proficient at switching off. And there's no interest awakened in their heart. But how important it is, men and women, to be really interested tonight. To have an interest awakened in your heart regarding your great need for him. But as I intimated just a little bit earlier on, there are so many. And it seems that there's never any real interest awakened in their heart. Some years ago, up in Magashel, in the Orange Hall, outside Dungannon there, in Dungannon actually, we held a mission. And the Reverend William McCrae was the preacher. And there were many people who came along to the meetings. But I'd never seen anything like it in my time as a Christian. Because when it came to about 5:00 to 8:00, when you looked up Prince Andrew Crescent, and up the rest of the avenues there, you could see the people coming out of their houses and coming down to the mission like that. One here, one there, two there. I'd never seen anything like that before. Very, very encouraging mission for God's people. And I believe that there were 12 or 13 who were converted. God moved. God spoke. But you know, there were many, many people. And no real interest. Came along to listen to the preaching, came along to listen to the Reverend McCrae singing. And the mission came and the mission went. And many of them never come to the Lord. I wonder if you have any interest tonight. Is there any real interest in your mind concerning him? And would you be one tonight who would be calling out in your own heart in the quietness of it, "Where is he? I need to get to him." But not only was there an interest awakened here, there was an impression avowed. You'll see here they say, they asked, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They were fully convinced of who this person was. They knew exactly who the Lord Jesus was. And again in their congregations. And this one's no exception. People who come along, generally speaking, are those who have some degree of belief concerning the things of God. They certainly believe some things about Jesus. And it is a good sign when people believe the Bible to be true. But of course, believing the Word of God to be accurate will never save you. Because there are so many that we know of who have believed that God's Word is true. And they have gone out into eternity with no profession. They've left it at that. They have never been those who have given anything more really than an impression that they believed who Jesus was. The one, not who was born to be king, but the king who was born. People come along, and it is with a great degree of interest that God's people watch them. They come along to gospel meetings. Not being a busybody or nosy people or anything like that, but you watch for their souls. And you make them a matter of prayer. And someone illustrated it very well in referring to the building of the bridge across the River Niagara. And it is said that when the great bridge was built across the River Niagara, when that bridge was made to begin with, there was great difficulty. And the great difficulty was going to be to get the first rope across to the other side. And someone came up with the idea, or so I have read, that of flying a kite and allowing it to fall on the opposite bank. And that kite carried across a piece of string. And to that long piece of string, there was tied a rope, and to that rope another rope, and so on. And when the string fell across, then it was all across, and they were able to pull the rope across, and that was the beginning of the bridge. It was by degree. Now, let me make myself very clear tonight. You will never be saved by degrees. If you're saved, it is instantaneous. Justification, it is called. It is an act of God's free grace. If you're saved tonight, you'll be saved in an instant. That's for sure. But when people come along to gospel meetings, so often it is like the getting the rope across the Niagara. There is a progression there. A person begins to attend church occasionally. Then sometimes after that, they begin to come along more frequently. Then they begin to take an interest in the Bible for themselves. Then they are convinced of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, as we mentioned. And so it goes on and on and on until at last that individual, in answer to prayer, may find the Lord. And if they do, they will be satisfied in Him. And that is the end to which Christians pray regarding unsaved people. Come in once and then you don't see them again for another few months, and you see them, then maybe you start seeing them once a month or then once a week, and they begin to ask questions, and you're praying, Lord, what stage are they convicted now? Or are they going to come to the Lord now? Are they going to get to a certain point and then turn away and never come back? And it seems today that there are those that are getting to a certain point and they're turning away and never turning back. And they're just like these men that we see here, that they had, and they gave an impression that they were interested in some degree in the things of God, but they leave it there, and I hope you don't do that tonight. These men didn't leave it there. You will notice thirdly about them here, their ignorance admitted. You'll see here that they have to inquire where He is. Now, they were called the wise men, but they were not beyond asking questions. They did not hold themselves in such high esteem as to think it beneath them to confess their ignorance concerning where the Son of God was. And today there are men and women who think they know. The very first time I ever went on outreach, I was only saved a few weeks, and they were going on outreach from Dungannon, and I went with them, and when we got out of the car, I was expecting somebody to come with me and for to put the letters, the invitations through the door, and they said, "You start up there." And I said, "By myself?" I said, "Oh, I go ahead." "All right." You start up there. And I thought, right, I'll put it through. He says, no, you need to knock the door. It was in the Moy, in the village of Moy. And quite a number of the people that I knocked the door of, they were customers of mine that time as a coal man. And I knew them, and they'd come to the door and say, they'd look and say, "Oh, sure, I didn't know you all cleaned up." And some of them were more than willing to take the gospel literature. But there's one man that I haven't forgotten about. And he's a Roman Catholic, and a young fella come to the door and he says, "Hold on, my dad might want to talk to you." And the wee fella, young fella went away, and his father came out, and he said, "Would you?" I says, "I'm just giving out some gospel literature." Hardly knew what to say to him. And he said, "No, but I'll tell you what it is." He says, "I have some Hail Marys and a few other bits and pieces here." He says, "Will you take some of them?" Now, if it was today, I would say, "Well, if you take my tract, I will take it." I wouldn't pay any heed to what was on, but if I could get the tract into his hand. But I wouldn't take them at that time because I wouldn't touch them. I was just saved, and I didn't realize I wouldn't have anything to do with them. But I remember that man. And he was a man who I really believe that he was sincere. He had an interest in God. And all his lifetime, he had been taught that, and he said to me, he said, if you wanted to talk to a certain individual anywhere around the country, do you not think that a good way to approach him would be through his mother? And I said, it would, but it's different when it comes to salvation. Couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. And he was a man who was searching. And there are people tonight who are in ignorance. And they really don't know the way of salvation. The person who sits in the Free Presbyterian pew, you know. You know the way of salvation. You know that it's nothing to do with good works. And tonight, you would have no excuse if you were to be called out into God's eternity forever. What argument would you put up? Would you say the minister never told me? It wasn't clear that I never knew how to be saved. Well, that would not be the case. My brother Kyle phoned me the other day, last week I think it was, the week before, and about 10 years ago, or more than that, they had been giving out tracts around Coleraine or somewhere with what was known as the Young Ambassadors. Well, Kyle is 10 years moved out of our home house, but this man had come into contact with a tract with Kyle's old address on it 10 years ago. And he sent this letter out to my father and mother's house, and they gave it to Kyle, it was addressed to him. And Kyle opened it up, and he was a man from Port Rush, and he said, I got your tract, I've read it with great interest, I really want to know more about coming to Christ. 10 years later. Those of you who give out tracts, don't think it's in vain. But here was a man who was genuinely searching. He didn't seem to know very much. But dear friend, tonight, those of you who have been cradled in the gospel, you're without excuse. But I wonder, have you said in your own heart, where is he? Notice here the information that they received. You can read on there and you will see where he was. They were told to go to. Some may have laughed at them. I don't know how many they asked to. They were told where he was. Maybe at first there were those who just laughed them to scorn. But here were men who were determined to get to him. Determined to get to him. There may have been hurdles. There may have been people who sent them all together in the wrong direction. I don't know, but you will see here that whenever he had gathered the chief priests and scribes to people, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophet. And you will read on down there, and you will see there that it says, verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said. He says here, go and search diligently for the young child. The information they received was bringing them to the right place. And dear friend, whenever you hear the message of the gospel that you are a sinner on your way to hell, that there's nothing in you that would be seen as an excuse as to why you shouldn't go there. Born with Adam's sin in your veins, actual transgression in your own life, coming short of the mark of God time and time and time again, and someone tries to point you to Christ, the devil will try to stop you from coming to Christ. Again, I'm looking back a number of years now, a good number, when myself and Andrew Patterson, first mission I ever took part in, we decided to have a mission in Stewartstown in the Orange Hall. And we did that, and we were doing outreach, and we came to a housing development there, if any of you know Stewartstown, it's called Arch Stewart. And all the really frightening place, all the curbs on the way in are green, white, and yellow, or green, white, and orange, whatever you want to call it. And it was his idea. I would have been happy to just put the leaflets through the door, but he wanted to knock the doors. Couldn't believe it. In Arch Church, scared stiff. You must see the look of some of the boys at us going around. But we went round, and some people were pleasant enough and some people didn't come to the door. But this young girl came to the door, and we were having a really, really good conversation with her. And she said, my one problem is, she says, if I go to the Orange Hall, she says, the next day it'll be, we know where you were last night. And it's going to present difficulties for me. And we understood all of that. But we were more interested in getting her saved there and then and getting her to the Orange Hall. But as we were just doing so well in our conversation with this young girl, her friend who was in her house came walking down the stairs. And boy, was she up for a fight. Told us we were being intrusive and nosy. And who are we to come around telling anyone about this thing that is very personal, religion? Ruined the whole thing. Don't know how it is with the young girl. She listened well. She was very, very interested. But then the devil came along. I wonder tonight, unsafe person, why are you not when you have expressed interest, you've believed who Jesus is, and you've been asking the question in your own heart, where is he? I need to get to him. And then something has happened. Something has happened. Notice something else about these men. In the search of these wise men for Christ, there was their purpose shown. For it says there that we may go and worship him. Now these wise men, as they're called, are to us a model of many things. There was an intense earnestness there, which is good for us all to note. They were not triflers, they'd come a long way. They may have had and probably did have their setbacks, but find him they would. And if you have an earnest desire tonight to find the Lord, you will find him. Sometimes I read of gospel meetings and missions in America and so on in various books. And some years ago in a mission held away out in a rural part of America, there were many people who were being converted. God was using his word, and night by night they were having great meetings and people were being saved. And there was this young woman who came to many of the meetings. Someone said to her, "How is it that you have come to the meetings and you have not found Christ?" She was very honest. She said, "I have not found him because I have not sought him." Now, as far as these men were concerned, that couldn't be said about them. They were seeking, come what may, that they would find him. But again, it's over to you, unsaved. Would it be right tonight to say that you have not found Christ? And the bottom line is this. Putting all excuses and barriers to one side, you have not found him because you have not sought him. There are people in Ugly Village who have spoken to Robert and others several times, to Robert on the door, and they have made very clear to him that they know they need to be saved. But tonight, as far as we know, they still sit in their sin, in spite of all their good intentions. And why do they still sit in their sin? They still sit in their sin because they have not sought him. And those of you who have Christian family and those who love you for the Lord, Sundays have come and Sundays have gone, and you have never really inquired, where is he? There's never been that awakening in your heart. There's never been that interest that has driven you to seek him. Well, I would say to you tonight, don't quench what interest there is. Count it a mercy that God is speaking to you at all, because the Bible tells us, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I want you to notice something else here concerning these men. We have looked at them and we've noted one or two things about them under the title, really, that they had a searching question. Where is he? But notice this about them. Notice that their hearts were spoken to. Do you see what it says there? It says in verse 2, "For we have seen his star in the east." We have seen his star. And I feel that I'm stating a fact here when I say that everyone here has heard the gospel at least once before. Many of our loved ones who are not saved have Bibles in their homes, and in some occasions they have heard the gospel preached. And the Bible, the word of God, as it were, is your star. Because just as the star was going to lead them to Christ, the word he was, your Bible and the preaching of it, may I add, is for the purpose of leading you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we don't believe in waffle. and drivel in the pulpit. It's far, far too important, and there's far, far too much at stake. Your soul is at stake. And God's word is a star to you now. It is meant to lead you to himself. And for these men to see this star, well, it was a special favor. This favor was not given to everyone who dwelt in the east. Not everybody's going to say, well, there's a star that is going to lead us just to where the Lord is. These men were highly privileged. And as we've said 1,000 times, in this country, people count gospel preaching a light thing. But how privileged the sinner is to hear the story of Jesus Christ once. People in other countries crying out for something they know not what. And people in Northern Ireland have heard it so much, they've come hardened to the gospel, and it means very little to them. You're favored tonight. God has highly favored you. And as I said, his word is like a star to you. The purpose of it, the purpose of gospel preaching, is not to push an iron, it's to lead you to Christ. But notice the star, something else about it. It brought to these wise men great responsibility. They had responsibility to follow after this star. Throughout our countryside, when children are taught in Sunday school and children's meetings, from their earliest days, they're instructed of the importance of turning to Christ, of following his word and doing, obeying the word and turning from their sin to him. And even if there's very little faith or they're just a child, the Lord knows exactly where they are, and they can be saved if they will be saved. We believe that with all of our hearts. But the responsibility is there, you see, whatever age we are, not to sit back and think, well, maybe it's for me someday, but the responsibility is to follow the guidance of the star. The star that you have before you, the Bible, says to you tonight, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And you and I, the responsibility we have is to obey it and turn to him. Please note well here that these wise men did not find satisfaction in what they themselves had done to reach the child. They did not sit down and say, well, we have journeyed across deserts, over hills, and across rivers, and that is enough. They must find this newborn king. Nothing else would satisfy them. And dear unsaved person, don't let anything stop you getting to Christ. Don't stop short of eternal life. But as the Bible shows us, lay hold on eternal life. These people, they did not say, well, we are in a land where the child is born and that will be good enough. Satan loves people to talk like that. We're in Christian circles. We're hearing the word preached. We're looking like the people who go along there, and it gives us a little bit of comfort and satisfaction just to be there. That's not good enough. That is the devil coming along and lulling you to sleep regarding the urgency of your case. Many, many years ago, again, we were reading about a minister who was preaching in an outdoor service, and he was speaking about sin, and he was speaking to all kinds of individuals who had gathered around him, and he spoke on the text, "Will thou be made whole? Will thou be made whole?" And at the end of the meeting, even before the end of the meeting, I believe it was, if my memory serves me right, a person interrupted, and they shouted out in front of everyone. God had been dealing with them. They said, "Preacher, that has been my problem." They said, "Preacher, I have patched up for years, but the patches have just made the holes bigger. And just as you have been preaching here tonight, I have been made whole because I have turned to Jesus Christ alone." Northern Ireland's full of patchers. People who will do anything, they will help out regarding church life, they will do all kinds of things. But it's all just patches. The call is to repentance and believing the gospel. Dear friend, I don't know how it is with you tonight, but I do trust that even as you listen to this, that your heart is spoken to. And there is that urgency with you tonight. Notice something else here about them finally. the sublime situation that was theirs when they found the Lord. You will see here that they came to eventually to where the Lord Jesus was, and they saw him there, and they looked. And I'm sure when they looked again. I wonder, have you looked? We would show you from this star tonight, from God's word, we would show you that you will find salvation at the cross. See your sin for what it is. See Christ as the only Savior of men, shedding his life's blood, a ransom for people like you and for me. Look by faith to him and live. Remember the words in the New Testament. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I, if I am lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Whenever Moses made that serpent in the wilderness, the people who'd been bitten by the fiery serpents, they had to look and they lived. And so it is with Christ. You need to look. Of course, that means by faith. You need to turn from your sin. You don't need to sit down and work it out for hours. You simply need to turn from your sin and look to him. They saw here, but notice they worshipped. They worshipped him. Only the true Christian can really worship the Lord. You'll see here that they worshipped him as prophet, because they had initially believed everything concerning him. And the true Christian worships the Lord Jesus Christ because they believe every word that is found in the Bible. They worship him. We worship him as our priest. The priest's ministry was to sacrifice. And we worship Christ as the one who sacrificed himself, the one who gave his life a ransom for the many. We worship him as king. King of kings and Lord of lords. And whenever they worshipped him, then they gave to him. We know all about the myrrh and the frankincense and gold. But dear unsaved person, what he needs from you first of all is your heart. Need your heart tonight. This was a sublime time. Whenever these women were found where the Lord Jesus Christ was and had given their gifts unto him, what a blessing it was for them. And dear friend, when a sinner truly turns to Christ, is done with their sin, and they're not play-acting, they're not looking for a quick fix, they want a real work to be done in their heart. And there's genuine desire there to be saved, and there's real repentance unto life. Then there's joy in knowing that you're his and he is yours. He wants your heart tonight. I wonder, have you asked the question, where is he? Have you asked that question tonight? Or is it nothing to you, to quote the words of one of old, all ye that pass by? Does this offer of salvation hold no attraction for you? I wonder, can I ask you another question just in closing? Have you ever asked yourself the question right to yourself and said, where am I? Am I rejecting and resisting Christ again? Am I resolving that I'm not going to believe the gospel tonight? Or am I resting upon Christ's finished work? Three R's. Resisting, resolving, or resting. I trust you're resting tonight. That you found Christ and you found hope in Christ. Found eternal life in him. May the Lord help everyone who listens tonight and those who will listen to ask themselves that question, where is he? And to let nothing stop them and getting to Christ, knowing that whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts tonight.